Hello and welcome to Northeast Access Radio, and also welcome to the Senior Citizens Programme, coming to you on a frequency of 90.3, and our phone number is 867-1190. And believe it or not, we have Grania on, Grania Lockman from Alone, and she's going to talk to us about a recent 3 million they had got from the Euro announcement to tackle loneliness. Hello, Grania, are you there?
Good afternoon, Austin, how are you?
You're not too bad at all. If the weather was a bit better, I'd be a bit better as myself. But however, we have to put up with what we've got. We have little or no control over the weather. But, the weather, with regard to loneliness, it can have a devastating effect. There's sad and all sorts of other ailments and even at the best of times, looking out the window when it's damp and drizzly and foggy and whatever, it's trying to put you into the blues as such. Now, I believe you got about 3 million euro from the euro, 3 million euro announced to tackle homelessness. Maybe you'll tell us something about this.
Of course. So Alone have been working for the past year or so with Senator Keith Swanick on the Loneliness Task Force. And that was established to tackle loneliness and to come up with recommendations for government on how best to combat loneliness across all age groups in Ireland. So one of the group's recommendations was that funding be provided for initiatives and organisations which help to alleviate loneliness as their primary function. And we were delighted to hear recently that that government will be setting up a fund which is separate to the mental health fund of 3 million euro for community organisations to help support them to tackle loneliness. It's really fantastic news, and we're delighted to hear this. This will be available for some of the many groups across Ireland who do fantastic work day in, day out to combat loneliness in their community.
Yeah, and loneliness can be very invidious, and it's like wallpaper. It covers a multitude. And, your spouse could have passed on and you'd be lonely and... you may be able to tackle things as such as you were beforehand, and it depends on what age you are too, but you're going to cover every age group as such. And how is this 3 million going to be allocated?
So it'll be allocated through a grant scheme for organisations, and it'll be allocated through PUDL. So organisations will be able to make applications for funding of between €5,000 and €100,000. So this will really be fantastic to support them and to enable them to keep going. Cause we work with, at Alone, we coordinate Befriending Network Ireland, and we work with befriending organisations across the country. And some of them... some are bigger than others, some are smaller than others, but I suppose sustainability is a big challenge, and keeping funding going for smaller organisations to keep doing the job they're doing is really important because they really are doing life-changing work up and down the country.
Yes, and of course we know that there's all sorts of organisations, some of them very, very small, maybe only about half a dozen people or so, and hoping to grow. They're doing, it could be a knitting class or a drama group or a poetry reading group or whatever. And it'll cover quite a lot of... different groups as such.
Yeah, so the hope is that it'll be for groups that alleviate loneliness as their main function. But this could include a whole range of different types of organisations. So we'll know more and we'll hear more over the coming weeks and months. We'll have another meeting of the Loneliness Task Force in the coming weeks to get more details also on what'll happen with the funding, but also on how we can go about implementing the rest of the task force's recommendations.
Yes, and I presume there's some sort of guidelines with regard to this grant or this allocation as such. $3 million would go little or nowhere if you were to cover every organisation under the sun that claims to, combat loneliness.
Well, that's it. I mean, you could spend a whole lot more, and it might still only be a drop in the ocean. But this is really a wonderful start, and we're hoping that with grants available of between €5,000 and €100,000, that it'll cover, I suppose, a range of different, all shapes and sizes of organisations to give them the support they need to keep the doors open and to keep providing the best supports they can.
Yeah, and of course now we know when anybody sets up an organisation, insurance comes into play, and the bigger the organisation, the bigger the insurance policies and the premiums are as such. you don't want the money to be eaten up by insurance or whatever.
Yeah, well, the grants will be for specific projects and specific groups. There'll be guidelines and there'll be other information released in due course. At the moment, we're still looking at. We're getting the ball rolling and we're getting things moving. But there will be more information available hopefully shortly.
Yeah, well, you'll be the lead agency with regard to this. You mentioned Pubble a few minutes ago. You applied to Pubble for a grant, and I presume it comes to you and whatever other organisations are, particularly the Minister of Finance.
Well, it'll be as part of, and this is another good news piece that we got recently, that Minister Jim Daly, who's over mental health and is also has responsibility for older people, he's going to be taking, or is looking at taking, loneliness as part of his remit under the heading of civic connectedness. So that's really fantastic news, because it shows that government will be taking loneliness seriously and the health impacts and the both physical and mental health, that they will be taking this seriously and working to combat it. And this will be as part of his remit also, as overseeing loneliness.
Yeah, and it looks like it would be a multi-agency, task force as such. And we know that the population of Ireland is growing older by the minute.
That's exactly it.
And in 20-odd years, I think it is, 2023 or 2025, the predictions are to be more older people in the country than younger people, and that's going to cause all sorts of problems, which would have to be tackled at this point in time, for 10 years down the road.
Yeah, so we do have an ageing population. In so many ways, that's fantastic news. It means that we're living longer, it means that we're living better, but it also does mean that we've got some planning to do and that there's some work to be done in order to prepare for this. And that's across plenty of different sectors, across health, across housing, across supports such as this for loneliness, that we really need to start working to prepare for, to have more older people accessing different services. We know now that more than 100,000 older people struggle with loneliness, but if we have an ageing population, how high might that number be in just 10 years' time. And we see the same, I suppose, with living alone. One in three older people are living alone at the moment. But as our population ages, that'll be a much higher number of people. So it's really important that we start putting supports into place now so that we are ready and that we can cater for older people as best as we can, but also provide the supports that they need and that are needed.
Yeah, and of course, and we have here an urban rural divide as such. Now, you're a nationwide organisation, but at least in the city, you might have somebody to call into you. But if you're isolated in the countryside, it may not be that easy. And you won't meet people at the local post office or the local shop because they're fast disappearing as such. And to go to the local supermarket might be 20 miles or 20 kilometres away.
Yeah, and rural isolation is something that we do come across quite a lot in our work. We've offices, you know, not just in Dublin, but in Louth and Donegal and Carlow and Kilkenny, and particularly in a county like Donegal, for example, which is a vast county with lots of, I suppose, smaller and rural towns in between the bigger ones. It is a very different experience. Growing older is a very different experience than it might be in the city. Now, I suppose regarding loneliness, it's very true that somebody might be surrounded by people and still feel lonely in the city, for example. Loneliness isn't just to do with the number of people that are around you, but it's to do with the quality of your connections and the quality of your relationships. And so it can affect somebody equally in Dublin as it can in Donegal. But I suppose the level of isolation and the ability to access services is going to be trickier if in many cases if you're living in a rural area. And it's very important that we reach out to people in rural areas and to ensure that they can access supports. For example, we provide in Donegal and in Louth the telephone befriending service. So for people who might be living in rural areas, who might be quite isolated, they might get a telephone call maybe daily or possibly weekly to ensure that they have that kind of social connection without the challenge of travelling, of having to have somebody travel out to see them. And the telephone befriending can really provide a lifeline to an awful lot of people.
Yeah, and of course... IT now that we have Swipe and all sorts of other applications that you can apply, but it's not always very easy for older people in some cases to get their head around all the different I would call them gadgets as such with regard to communications. The ordinary telephone is the ideal way to communicate. But there's all sorts of other ways now that are coming on stream. And maybe in the future there might be some sort of grants or something for to install these type of Swipe and Hangout and whatever. There's quite a few of them.
Yeah, and technology can be a bit of a lifeline, as you say, and there are, I suppose, it's fantastic for people who might have, say, family living abroad, or people who might use social media to stay linked in with friends or family members. But I suppose in some instances it can be a double-edged sword, where I suppose, especially with younger people as well, who are very reliant on technology and on digital communications. And it's really important to remember that to maintain your real-life connections as well and to keep in touch with your friends, not just through Facebook or through WhatsApp or one of these other, communications platforms, because the real-life connections are the ones that are most vital, especially to older people.
Yes, and of course the ordinary telephone is a lifeline in some instances. But people get depressed. You know, if they're left on their own and they haven't seen somebody for a day or two, and they're looking forward to being brought down to the shop to get the weekly shop or the daily or whatever it is, and they're looking forward to this, but then when all that's taken away from, particularly in rural districts, it leaves a sort of a void in the life.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's that daily link, it's that connection. I mean, we had one of our staff members was told recently by an older person that they work with, that she hugs the phone when it rings because she gets very lonely, because she can't get out of the house because she has poor mobility. And I suppose that's one example of how just a phone call can be a lifeline to someone, can really make someone's day and in some cases change someone's life. We really see the impact that things like telephone befriending can have on people, and the impact that the time of our volunteers has. I mean, for example, like if a volunteer for a loan might call out to somebody for an hour a week, that's only an hour out of their week, but that could make somebody else's whole week. And it's really important that we support our volunteers, and that we have as many volunteers as possible so that they can continue to deliver vital services like this.
Yeah, and volunteers, you're always looking for volunteers.
We are. We're always looking for volunteers. The demand for our services is rising every year, and last year we supported about 3,200 older people, and 40% of those contacted us about social integration, so problems around loneliness or social interaction. So it's really important that we keep building up our numbers of volunteers so that they can keep delivering supports like befriending, like visitation befriending, or like telephone befriending, so that we can help older people to combat loneliness. I saw recently that there's only 1/3 of older women and about 16% of older men report having supportive friendships in their lives, which is really quite a striking statistic. And it's vital that that we have volunteers, and that people continue to kind of reach out and kind of make links with older people, to reach out to older neighbours, friends and family members, to make sure that they keep up their connections.
Yes, and during a bereavement or after bereavement as such, this is actually essential to do to comfort people, and loneliness can set in very, very quickly.
Yeah, it's very true, and I suppose a lot of people might come to us after a bereavement, or for instance, the death of a partner can be really very difficult to somebody, especially if they've been their main companion possibly for many years. And loneliness can set in quite quickly, and it can also result in health problems for physical or to mental health. Lonely people, for instance, suffer disproportionately with mental health issues or with cognitive decline, and they're more likely to be admitted for residential or for nursing care.
Yes,
it's really important that if after somebody's partner passes away or there's bereavement, that there are supports there to ensure that they keep connected, and that they can avoid loneliness or keep it as minimal as possible. To, I suppose, keep the links up and keep in touch to ensure that to help to support their health as well as anything else.
Yeah, and dementia now is a sort of a hidden disease, but it's getting a little bit of recognition now at the moment. And loneliness can cause all sorts of a decline into dementia. And if a person is active and about and has friends and people calling to, etc., it's a great help in combating this type of a disease.
Exactly, and I suppose with dementia and Alzheimer's, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword because social interactions and I suppose keeping in touch with people can help you maintain your brain health. But if you are diagnosed with something like dementia, you're struggling with something like dementia, it's really important, and it also becomes in some cases much harder to keep up those links. For instance, the Alzheimer's Society released a report last year interviewing people who had recently been diagnosed with dementia, and sometimes there might be a sense of shame or a sense of worry that, for instance, around forgetting somebody's name. So rather than reaching out to them, you might just stay quiet, or instead of going to the shop, perhaps you start to struggle with coins and recognition and things like that. So you might get somebody else to go instead. So there are things like that that become much more difficult for people who do have dementia, but it's all the more important that that people are understanding and that we have support in place. We provide support to enable people with dementia and other illnesses to keep in touch with society and to keep getting out and about. And I suppose there is around loneliness as well, a sense of stigma and possibly also some shame, because I suppose in today's society, we're always connected, or we're always supposed to be connected and seen as in touch with everybody all the time. But it's not always the case. And so it's vital that we do speak up and that we do kind of reach out for a bit of help when it's needed.
Yes, that covers quite a lot, you know, a multitude as such. Now, Grania, now, you had a couple of other systems going. Now, you had the rent a room or a rent part of a house. Is that still going?
Well, the trial for that ended a couple of months ago, but we were delighted with how it all went. We do still we provide housing for older people separately to that. So we have around 116 tenants in housing across Dublin. So for people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness or had housing challenges or housing difficulties. But at the minute, we have roughly 200 people on our waiting list for housing, so people who are in need. So we really are seeing the impact of the rental crisis and other issues on the need for housing for older people. And we are working on a number of different building projects for over the next couple of years to help to support people who might be in need of housing.
Yes, and of course, we know what the rent crisis are. We call it a crisis as such. It seems to me that the rent the initiative that you only can put it up by 4%, but there's enough loopholes in that now for the drivers coaching forward to.
Yeah, and there are a lot of, I suppose, different loopholes, and I suppose a lack of security as well, for particularly for older people who might be renting. We worked with an older person recently, and she had been renting or living in the same rented apartment for more than 70 years since she was a child, and her parents had rented it before her. But she was recently given a notice to quit, has a couple of months notice, and will now have to move out and find somewhere new. And this would be difficult at any age, but if you've been living in the same place for more than 70 years, it's your home, and you can only imagine, I suppose, the challenges that would bring.
Yeah,
so we're really seeing So yeah, we really are seeing the impact that the rental crisis is having on older people.
And it seems to be getting worse rather than getting better. When we hear about cases that two families are homeless every day, and now they may not be elderly people, or they may not be living in a house for 70 years. But a person living in a house for 70 years, that's a home, you know, just a home.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then to be...
But unfortunately, yes, but I suppose unfortunately, because of tenants have relatively limited rights, so I think the most length of time that they're entitled to, no matter how long you've lived in a property, is 6 months or in and around. And if you've lived somewhere for 70 years, 6 months isn't going to do much to kind of soften that blow.
No, it definitely is not. And of course, you say if the person is elderly and they're not maybe not that mobile and etc. And they can lead to all sorts of medical conditions, including being very, very lonely, particularly if all their friends have passed away, or majority of them have passed away.
That's exactly it. It can be much more difficult when you don't have, I suppose, possibly not family ties or ties with friends, I suppose, to help you kind of get through times like that. For instance, we've worked with older people, and they might have a very supportive family, but that family might be in the UK or might be somewhere else in the world. And so I think people might presume that because somebody has family ties, that they might have a home to go to anywhere, but it's not always the case. And it's still important that that person feels supported and has all the support that they need in order to get through difficult times like that.
Well, Gráinne, I'm afraid we've come to the end of our time, or near the end of our time, and we would wish you all the very best with regard to the 3 million, and we will be back to you maybe shortly, maybe after the local elections, maybe, and we will talk to you again. And I'd like to thank you for coming on very short notice. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Awesome, much appreciated. Thank you.
Bye.